It's going to be a load all the way. I don't expect to ever get out from under a load for Christ, because if I did, I'd put myself right back under a load. The Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. And you might say, well, Brother Pike, if you put yourself under load, why expect me to help you out? I don't. I said, I don't. The Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh and goeth down to Egypt for his help. I go to God and I ask God. And when I go to God, God sends somebody along. It has to be Brother Jimmy. But anyway, he's got a way of doing it. If I tell Jesus, the song said, I must tell Jesus. For Jesus can help me and Jesus alone. So when you let down, the Bible said, hold fast not to let another take your crown. So when you let down on your Christian living and your life for Jesus, whatever it might be, in prayer, fasting, whatever it might be, then somebody is waiting to take your crown. I remember my dad said back in hard times years ago, that back during the Depression, Brother Stevie, that in the cotton mills or in the textile plants, said it was real hard to get a job, and anywhere else it was hard to get a job. And said, during that time, said the man would come around and tell you to really get it. And said, if you act like you didn't want to get it, said he'd take you over to the window and said, you see that barefooted fellow running around out there? Said he's waiting for a job right now. Said he's waiting for me to give him the answer right now. And he said they really got it. Didn't make but $2 or $3 a week or $7 a week or something like that. But he said they really got it because it was a barefooted boy waiting for their crown. And so then, that's the way it is today. There's a barefooted boy, so to speak, waiting to get that crown that you don't want. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I don't believe people are as anxious to get it as you try to make it sound like. Well, I'm going to give you an illustration. How many remember what happened over in Olive Branch? Brother Junior McCallum had just about everything heart could wish for in this world. Is that right? Prestige and money and everything else at that time. Is that right? But you remember those little clippings that come off of the pieces that Attlee run back there on the press, and David picked it up and made a crown out of it, and I spoke of it having to do with Revelation. You remember Dwight, he set one of them on your head, or you set one on his head. You remember that? One day we had those little crowns in there that David had made and come around and set them on everybody's head. How many remember that? And Brother Al Gonzalez, was it, had dropped his? Is that right, Al? And Brother Junior McCallum sitting over there, and he hadn't been one sitting on his head, and he grabbed that like a dog, a hungry dog after a bone. I mean, he come off of that place where he was perched up on the counter or something and went down on his knees or whatever it was, just like a little child, just frantically liked, and grabbed that thing and picked it up, and nobody could get it away from him, and I guess he still has it today. Now, people are hungry for God. One time we sent him a little offering, felt to send him a little offering. And he took the check because it says Jesus Christ is eternal abundant life, and he still has the check today and never has cashed it as far as I know. You tell me people don't want the things of God? Somebody's waiting to get your crown, my brother. You better not be careless. You say, well, I see all them people with what they got out there. If they just give me that, they will. I said, they will. The Bible said they'll throw it to the bats and cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on. They will. Just go out there and tell them you want it. When the plagues hit Egypt down there, they give everything they had. Just give them their jewels and their silver and gold and everything else. Them people's bellies are rotting out with cancer. That's right. Paralysis, heart trouble, TB, insanity. They'll give it to you. Just go out there and tell them you want it. Amen. All they want is peace. Like Brother Junior Pike told me the other day. Our builder up there, the leading builder, Charles, whatever his name is up there, that's been the leading builder over in Conyers, said he told Junior how tormented he was. Said he just wished he could get his health straightened out and get off somewhere just where he could have a little peace. And talked like he just loved to be able to just get out of the building business and leave alone. But see, like Elvis Presley said, I understand that he done got in with the underworld and they done got their hands on him. And when devils get their hands on you, my brother, you don't shake them off so easy. You don't shake them off so easy. Amen. So then you better hold fast lest somebody take your crown. If you lose your vision for this work or the work of Jesus Christ, God will send somebody else in just as sure as I'm standing behind this plate. Ever since I've been serving him and working for him, every time one got weary, God always sent another one. God always sent another one. Even you, brethren, know that since you've been with us. And he'll just send somebody else. So the thing to do is not to be weary in well-doing, strengthen yourself in the Lord, and stand up like a real soldier. No matter what you've done, say, my God, what I've done has been a drop in the bucket. God, forgive me, because I've done so little for the kingdom of God. And some of you have done a whole lot less than that. I said, some of you done a whole lot less than them. The Bible said it's just our reasonable service to give our bodies a living sacrifice. A lot of folks say, well, I think that you just require too much. I'm not requiring anything. I don't require anything. I just tell you what the book said. That's up to you. The Bible said, let whosoever will. God said, Moses, and you do it by free will. So then I'm just telling you, without a vision, the people perish. That's the reason some of the people come to church in the spirit, that they come to church in. They come to, in an old sour a disposition in the morning, or they come without real inspiration to God, or they come without really wanting to do something for God. And the reason for this is they don't have any vision out yonder. I said they don't have any vision for living right, for fasting, for praying, for studying their Bible, for visiting the sick, for helping the poor. That's right, or helping lost souls get to God, or for doing anything in the way, Brother Gonzalez, of meditating in the laws of God day and night. And when they come to church, it shows on them. I said it shows on them. Take a man and let him go without food 2 or 3 weeks and bring him into the house of God, it'll show on him. Or into your house, rather, it'll show on him. Amen. So it's a good case of spiritual malnutrition. Because malnutrition pertains to the flesh. But just to give you some idea of what I mean. And so then if you don't have a vision, what happens? You perish. You perish. When you don't have a vision, you perish. You'll come to church with spirits of resentment, spirits of lethargy, spirits of unconcern, spirits of rebellion, spirits of haughtiness, spirits of greed, spirits of covetousness, carnal-minded, worldliness, all of these things, my brother and my sister, when you don't meditate in His laws day and night to bring every thought into subjection to Jesus Christ. Then I want to remind you, as I said last night, we are in the end of the world, and you cannot make the rapture in that kind of condition. I want to emphasize that this morning. I said, you that do those things, Paul said, as I have told you before, so tell I you this once again, that they that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. I feel like you that missed last night, that didn't go with us, you missed something from the Lord. I feel like you did. Amen. I feel like that had to do with Revelation last night. And I know the meat is for the strong. The Bible said they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Last night we ministered in a little bit hoarse this morning. So if we try to talk with you some, you just have to bear with us. Brother Jim and I and the family heard the broadcast on XCRF last night. Heard Brother John talking. Is that big, powerful station hurled the message about 1,000 miles in our direction. And at times it come in real good, and then it would fade out. Notice it with the other minister, and a lot of interference last night. In the winter time, it comes in real good, and of course they go up on the price. In the winter time, they know it comes in good, so they go up on the price. But anyway, we praise God for the broadcast. When we was in Jamaica and Grand Cayman, they say that they get it over that way, and goes into the European countries, some of them maybe where we'll be going. But I praise God for the opportunity to be on there and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I want to read the same scripture I read last night, this morning, to dwell on it for just a few minutes. I wonder if Dwight would go up to the house and get me a little water. Would you please, Dwight? Now, I'm glad to see all of you out in the house of the Lord this morning. I would like very much for every one of you to come to the house of God regular. People are going to be left out in the rapture. Now, you're fresh this morning, and you can concentrate better on what I'm about to say than you could last night, some of you. There's no reason for you to be in a hurry this morning. You don't have anywhere to go. You say, well, I got to get home. Well, you're right here. There's your home right down there. So you're right here at it. There's no reason to be in a hurry. So let's take a few minutes for a little teaching or exhortation this morning, or instructions unto righteousness. There were some things that I wanted to talk to the people about, and last night I talked to a I guess most of them, about them at the place where we was at last night. But I would like to share a few of these things with the people that are here and retrace our footsteps just a little last night and some of the things that we spoke of. So I'd like for you, if you would, to bear with us, and we'll see if we can treat you right. The only way I know to treat you right is treat you according to the Bible. Amen. To me, that's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Reading from the book of Peter, the first book of Peter, and reading from the third chapter, 17th verse. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last night I also added this scripture and took a text from it in the 7th verse of the 4th chapter, whereas that was in the 3rd chapter I just read. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I know that a lot of people don't understand salvation. They don't understand godliness. And Paul, on one occasion, said, I speak this to your shame, that you don't understand salvation and you don't understand godliness. And he said, I speak this to your shame. Now, the reason a lot of people don't understand salvation and don't understand godliness is because they have no lot nor no part in the matter. Now, I want to say that again. It's because they have no part or lot in the matter. Are you listening to me? I said the reason a lot of people don't understand godliness and don't understand salvation, Brother Taylor, is because they have no part or lot in the matter. Peter told a man one time, said, you can't buy this. Said, you have no part or lot in the matter. Said, because your heart is not right with God. When a person gets their heart right with God, then they have a part in the kingdom of God. But as long as your heart is impure, then you have no part or lot in the matter. As long as you are acting one way and thinking another way, then you have no part or lot in the matter. You can't buy this gold and silver, cannot buy his love from above, the songwriter said. And so then you can't buy it. It's God's free gift of grace that's given to you. But for you to be able to have this, then your heart has got to be right with God. I made the statement the other night that David was a man after God's own heart because he had a pure heart. The Bible said the pure in heart shall see what God's doing. The pure in heart shall see God. And if your heart is pure, then you have what we refer to as eyes of understanding. Now the Bible said some folks having eyes, they see not. That is, they have eyes in their head to see the things that's going on in the world, but they don't have the enlightenment of the eyes of understanding, so they see not the things that God is doing. They have ears to hear, but the Bible said they hear not, because they have ears to hear what's going on in the world and the gossip and the television shows and all of these things, to read the magazines and all the booklets that can satisfy the lust of the flesh, but they have not spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the church. Amen. So then, If you don't have a spiritual ear, then you will never hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. That's why Peter said, look on us. Pay attention, Peter said. Amen. He was trying to get it over to you that if you ever get anything from God, that the preacher only has 30 or 40 minutes to expound to you, and pay great attention at that time. It's just like a teacher teaching a pupil when he gets up and he starts using the blackboard and instructing and putting down the things that are on the blackboard. Then the thing to do is to pay attention. If the pupil expects to graduate at the end of the school season, they're going to pay attention. As it was with Brother Taylor here at our Christian school, right about the time for the people to get out, the little fellas to get out, some of them didn't make as good as the others, and some of the mothers and daddies didn't like it. But the thing is, you never taught your children to obey and to pay attention. That's the trouble. A lot of times somebody will come to me and they'll say, Brother Pike, Brother Tommy's a real Bible scholar, ain't he? Don't mind standing in front of Tommy here, not to flatter him, to dig a pit for him to fall in, but they'll say, he knows the Word of God, doesn't he? I say, yeah, you know why? Because Tommy pays attention. Amen. He's never said in one of my services that I can ever remember, but what he gave me, his whole heart, mind, and attention. And a lot of times I catch his spirit and find out that somebody said something to him or something had gone wrong and Tommy was grieved and there was a difference between me and him, but he still paid attention and swallowed down and swore to his own hurt because he knew that that was God that we was placing on the blackboard in the form of understanding, and it was God that we was using to exhort to him the power and words of eternal life. You've got to pay attention, children of God. You've got to listen. You can't look around at your children. You can't get your mind on your children, ladies. You can't get your mind on your bellies and get your mind on the things of the world out there and come to the house of God and expect to make the rapture without getting your mind on God. You can't do that thing. You've got to pay attention. It makes no difference whether it's Brother Pike or whether it's Brother Jimmy or whoever who it is. It's God speaking to you at that particular time, and you've got to pay attention and give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard. Peter was an early apostolic preacher, but when Peter was talking to a man, he wanted the man to look at him. Amen. Is that right? He said, look at me. When he went to give the man something or to bring him healing, he said, look on me, look at me, pay attention to me and hear what I've got to say. Amen. So then, some of you ladies, you can't look at a man because you live such a shadow life that devils of lust crawl all over you like ant on a piece of cake, and you don't live an overcoming life, and you're afraid to look at a man. Especially a preacher, you're afraid he'll catch a devil on you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself not to live any better life than that. My brother and my sister, the Bible said, if a man hath no control over his spirit, he's like a city with a broken down wall. Amen. You ought to have more power of God in your life. Ought to have more spirit of God in your life than to yield to devils. Some of you men are in the same condition. But I tell you, we need to reverence the sanctuary of God. Amen. And pay attention to the preacher. When the preacher is preaching the Word of God, we need to pay attention to him. This man came up to Peter. One man, Peter said, look on me. The man looked at him, and Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Another man he turned to, and he said to this man, he said, you have no part nor lot in this matter, because your heart is not right with God. Amen. God purifies our hearts by faith. How's God going to purify our heart if we don't have any faith? A lot of preachers go off, a lot of young preachers that is, they take off and they say, God's called me into the ministry. God's called me into the ministry. And they take off to preach something they don't even know. They haven't even taken time to learn anything from God. The Bible said, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're supposed to grow in the knowledge, my brother and sister. Some of you never study the Bible. You never listen to a good sermon. You never hear a whole sermon through because you don't grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Amen. You don't have any lot nor part in the matter because your heart's not right with God. This is what Peter said. He had the keys to the kingdom. I believe he knew what he was talking about, or God never would have given him that kind of power and authority. I believe that a minister knows what he's speaking of, or God never would have made him a minister. Amen. A lot of times you wives look at your husband and you resent your husband just like he had something to do with him being a man. I want to ask you this question, my sister. Who made him a man? Did you make him a man? Did I make him a man? Did some organization make him a man? Or did God make him a man? Amen. Did I choose him for your husband? Did somebody else choose him for your husband? Or did you choose him for your husband? You chose him for your husband, you're supposed to live with him. The Bible said honor him. You're supposed to obey him. He's a man. God made him a man. And you look at yourselves like you say, well, I wonder why come I'm a woman. Why don't you ask God why he made you a woman? Amen. God made you a woman. He intended for you to be a woman. Amen. And because he made you a woman, he made somebody else a man. That didn't change the word of God one bit. He still meant for the wives to obey the husbands. Amen. You're made a woman because God made you a woman. You're made a man because God made you a man. And your argument is with God. I'm a minister of Jesus Christ this morning, not because I call myself. The Bible said that no man taketh the priesthood to himself, but God made me a minister. Amen. I have nothing to do with it. I didn't fast to get to be a minister. I didn't pray to get to be a minister. I didn't just decide I want to preach. But there was something that drove me to preach the gospel. Like Paul the Apostle, I was struck down. I was going in a different direction. I had no intention to preach. I certainly didn't have no intentions to go to church because I wasn't interested in religion, my brother and my sister. I wasn't interested in it. I was trying to get everything I could in the world because that's where my heart was. That's where my treasures was. Amen. But one day, Brother Gonzalez, God struck me down. And I lost everything. My faith, my health, my everything that I had to look forward to. And I said, my God, don't let me die. I said, don't let me die. And I was a fearful, nervous wreck about to go insane. I didn't have enough faith to keep me insane, or to keep my sanity. And I began to plead with God, and I said, God, if you'll help me, if you'll just get me up here. I knew my life was gone. That was my life. It was gone. But I said, if you'll give me another life, God, I'll give this one to you. If you'll give me another life. And Brother Tommy, I've tried to do that. I said, if you get me up here, I'll never smoke another cigarette as long as I live. I said, I never have since that day. That's been many, many years ago. I said, I'll try to do what I can because God struck me down and turned me around and told me to preach the gospel. Amen. And he's been with me and said, I'll never leave you. As in the vision when the angel of God appeared to me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I'm with you in time of trouble and need. Out on the desert, in the mountains, in sorrow and heartaches and sickness and fears, perplexities, bewilderments, poverties. I said, God, you told me that you'd be with me. Amen. In his word, he told me. Praise God, and I believe it. I believe you say, well, he told you by the angel. He did tell me by the angel. But my brother and sister, he told me by the word, and that was a confirmation that my faith believed his word. You see angels by the word of God. Somebody said, I'm just waiting for an angel to come and visit with me. Well, they'll never do it. Amen. But when you begin to believe the word of God, they'll come and confirm the word of God. I said, they'll come and confirm the word of God. If you're waiting for an angel to come and tell you what God wants you to do so you can believe it, you're on the wrong road. You've got the wrong concept and the wrong understanding. But if you believe God's word, it'll cause angels to appear unto you and confirm the word and say amen to it, just like that one visited me in the vision in Florida. Now, I believe with all of my heart that God is with us and God is helping us and God is in what we're doing. And the Bible said, if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemy, the devil, and thine enemies to be at peace with thee. Why is it that the world is having trouble today? Because our enemies are not at peace with them. Why is it Russia's not at peace with the United States? Why is it? Can you tell me? Why is it that Korea is not at peace with us? Why is it that every other nation is not at peace with us? Because America's ways are not pleasing God. Beatniks, hippies, and everything else. The writer said, from whence cometh wars? Does it not come from your lust? He said that warreth in your member, desiring to have and you have not, because you don't seek God and don't ask. You ask amiss when you do ask it, to consume it on your own lust. Amen. That's where wars come from. Amen. It starts in the hearts of diplomats. It starts in the hearts of these celebrities that we have. It starts in the hearts of men where they get evil and bitter. And God has to get rid of some of them. So he lets the war start to drag them off over there to where they can be slaughtered to get rid of some of them. My land, if we're having this much trouble out of the young boys and girls we got on this side of the ocean, if God wasn't letting some of them get killed out, what would we do? Amen. Mothers and daddies, just let them go anywhere, wander anywhere up and down the highways and the streets and everywhere else. I made the statement the other day. I told the daddy, I was talking to him about keeping the boys away from the little girls. I said, don't you know the penalty for rape is the electric chair? Some little old girl run around half naked. That's about the way most of them go now. And if a little boy ever looks at her wrong, she hollers, rape! And the judge, he's so warped and twisted and he don't know where he's going. And because she hollered rape, then he puts the boy in the electric chair. When the mothers and daddies stripped her off and put her out there to start with. But I'm going to tell you something. Even though it's like this, daddies, you better wake up. You better keep your boys away from little girls that don't be decent. You better listen to me and do what I'm telling you. Because in just 5 minutes, one of them can be on his way to the electric chair, so to speak. It don't take but just a few minutes of resenting the preacher. When he tries to tell your boy something or try to do something, mama, you laying around on your laziness, letting your boy wander up and down the street and the highways and everywhere else. You see one of them sat down in the electric chair, you're going to be sorry at it. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, God will watch after him. I made the statement here not too long ago. God cannot watch after children like that. God can't. God would be evil if he did that. And he would condone your evil spirits and your evil laziness if he did that. God doesn't do that. But I'll tell you what, if a mother does her best and a daddy does his best, and if you fast and you pray and you do your best to watch your children, then, my brother and sister, when the devil gets after them or when they get in trouble, God will dispatch an angel and he'll say, go down there and watch after that boy or girl. That man's over yonder praying. That woman's over yonder praying. They've done their best to raise these children right. They've watched after them and tried to keep them out of these places. And God will watch after them, take care of them. But you got to do something yourself. You got to do something yourself. Some of you mothers got little bitty babies. They wander off and you don't even know where they're at. You sit around on your laziness and do things that you ain't got no business doing. Amen. It reminds me of some of the men. I get so disgusted with some of the men. They talk about, I'm going to take some time off and seek God. I'm going to take 3 weeks off and seek God. They take 3 weeks off and they run around and don't do nothing. Amen. And talk about seeking God. Laziness. Lying in the street trying to get out of work, trying to get out of responsibility. You give them one job and they got to go seek God. You never see them seeking God. Sometimes you can't get people even come to church. But they want to get off the job. Lazy, want to get off the job. I said the other day, a man that's not lazy, he's going to work. I don't care where you put him. Whether you give him any money or whether you don't give him any money, because it's in him to work. And a man that's lazy, I don't care if you give him $1,000 a week, he ain't going to work. He might get on your job and deceive you and think into faking he's working so he can get his paycheck. But my brother, you ain't going to get nothing out of him. Amen. Laziness. Deception. The same way the woman neglects her house duties. Go into her house and you have to stumble over the gowns and the pajamas and everything else. And that just reminds me of something. I'm glad God brought that to my mind. You mamas and daddies that let your daughters wear pajamas and you women that wear pajamas at home. That's abomination in the sight of God. Amen. You ought to get some gowns for them. You know better than to do any such filthy thing as that. Somebody said, well, they're at home. Daddy, you at home too. Oh, but say, I'm her daddy. I know daddies that's laid with their own daughters. I know a man that killed his dad-in-law because he was trying to defile his own daughter. Amen. The Bible said it's good for a man not to touch woman. You be decent around them, daddy. Quit running around without your shirt, without your clothes on. Amen. I'm even reluctant to run around with my t-shirt on. Amen. It bothers me even to do that. I know in the household where there's children, sometimes things will happen. It's unavoidable. I realize that. But, brother, let me tell you something. We need to live holy. We need to walk holy. We need to do what's right. I've asked some of the ladies here not to come here wearing those dresses without putting some kind of material up under them. And they come here anyway. You say, Brother Pike, I don't think you ought to say nothing about it. Well, I don't think they ought to come to the church where I'm pastoring like that. Praise God, this is the house of God, and I'm supposed to be here to tell you it's wrong. If I don't say something about it, we'll have a negligence show out here, and we'll have plenty of attendance. Amen. To mock us and to lie. That's right. To spite our liberties in God. You ought to be ashamed to come to the house of God like that. You ought to be ashamed to even do that. Somebody said it's too hot. You know better than that. In the desert, they put on more clothes to keep the sun off of them. Now, why do you put a hat on your head? Why do you put a hat on your head? Better to keep it off if it's cooler without anything. But when the sun comes down, you put a hat on your head. Amen. Is that right? Now then, so what is it? You ladies, you girls, you need to stop doing that. Amen. I'd be standing up here in the pulpit, and it's disgraceful to see one of you come in the door out there. That's right. Now then, I believe that we need to wake up, folks. I want you to know one thing, that the house of God is the place where judgment is falling. It's in the house of God that your doom is sealed. It's in the house of God that is the deciding factor as to whether you go to heaven or whether you don't go to heaven. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm waiting for God to come and get me. I've got just as much chance as anybody else. My brother and my sister, I want to tell you this once again. You don't wait for God to come and take you to heaven. The Bible said, save yourselves from this unregeneration. You don't stay and wait for God to come and get you. The Bible said, draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you. Forsake God and He'll forsake you. Amen. His Word is health to your flesh when you come nigh unto the Word of God. Amen. It's to your soul when you come nigh unto God. This Word that I'm preaching to you this morning is God's infallible Word. It's the eternal Spirit in the printed form. That's in our midst to shape in our minds to where faith will react to draw the eternal Spirit of the Word into our lives and into our hearts to preserve us forever. Amen. This is the house of God. This is the place of judgment. We are not waiting for God to come and get us. That's not what we're doing at all. Amen. The Bible said, blessed is the servant I so find doing, occupy till I come. Amen. Do something. Work. For the night will soon be upon us and you won't have a chance to work and do no works for God. When the Catholic takes over and the darkness covers the slain, you won't do nothing for Jesus Christ. They'll put you in jail. But right now, you've got a chance to work for God. Amen. Here is God's eternal Word right here, folks. This is God's Word. This is God's house. You say, Brother Pike, how do we get to heaven then? You get to heaven by the Spirit of God translating you from revelation to revelation, or from faith to faith, as the Spirit of God is revealed and the righteousness of God is revealed therein, from faith to faith as the knowledge comes, that it might purify your heart by faith and translate your spirit into the kingdom of God. You are either in the kingdom of God or you are not in the kingdom of God. Somebody said, I'm just waiting. And one of these days, God's going to take me to His kingdom. And God's going to take me into the kingdom of heaven. And God's going to take me to the city where He lives. My brother and my sister, I want you to know one thing. You're either in the kingdom of God now or you're not in the kingdom of God. And you better get in the kingdom of God before God comes, or He's not going to get you, because He's coming back after His kingdom. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Thy kingdom. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God's been preached. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son that was made under the law, born of a woman. In the fullness of time, when Jesus said, it's finished. The fullness of time came back there, Brother Taylor. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, that done away with your sins. That done away with your sufferings. That done away with your sufferings and your heartaches and your sicknesses. That done away with your poverty. That was the end of it. When Jesus said it's finished, it was finished. And he was the beginning of the creation of God. That is, the eternal creatures began to be produced back there. And he was the first one of them. Amen. At Calvary, when he nailed the flesh to the cross, that was the end of all the suffering of flesh. That was the end of all the sin of flesh. For sinful flesh which he was made, he died there at Calvary to do away with that sinful body, that you might never be charged with it again. Amen. A man that's born again is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You say, Brother Pike, if he's like that, why doesn't God come and get him? Because he's only like that according to the foreknowledge of God by the sacrificial body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it hasn't been made manifest in his body in the sense that he hasn't believed it. God's got to get him to believe it. That's why he can purify a man's heart by faith. It's because he'd done away with his sins back there, Brother Tommy. He'd done away with his sins at Calvary. Therefore, all you've got to do is believe that he was the works. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works of God. He that believeth on me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. Amen. He believe on me, he's passed from death unto life. So then when the body was nailed to Calvary, my brother and sister, that was the end of sin back there for everyone that can believe. That was the finished works of righteousness in the life of Jesus Christ as he lived the life for you in his 33 years while he was here. Now then, by divine translation, we are made him. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, royal blood flows through our veins. His spirit's within us. Amen. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish according to the finished works of Calvary. But you'll never be partakers of it unless you can believe the things I'm telling you this morning. And you'll never believe the things I'm telling you until you do everything within your power to try to measure up to the things of Jesus Christ. Amen. God does not give faith to translate you just because you look over at Calvary and you know by knowledge that the Son of God has taken away your sins. He doesn't do that. If he did, he'd have to save the whole world. But what he does do, grace does not apply to you as long as you are not doing your best, my brother. But when you do the very best you can, then when you fail, grace takes over. I said grace takes over. When you do the very best that you can, and you know that you're doing the best you can, and then you stumble, grace atones for your mistakes. So you can very boldly go before the throne of grace in the time of need to receive help and look at Calvary and say, that was me that died at Calvary. I'm no longer me, but I'm him. Amen. That sinful me died at Calvary. And now I'm no longer the sinful me that I was, but I am the body of the Lord Jesus Christ without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And in so believing, the Spirit of God will come in through your faith. When you hear this preached through the Word, faith will come in. And God's Spirit will come through that faith and purify your spirit from the evil spirits of this world. And you'll be a temple that's sanctified, and he'll dwell in your spirit, and nothing can get in your spirit, my brother. My sister, purifying the heart by faith, sanctifying us by faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Amen. If that be so, then our sicknesses is gone as well, Brother Jimmy. Our sickness, no wonder some of you never get healed. You don't have enough interest in the Word of God. You don't have enough interest in the things of God. The Bible said that the Word would be health to your flesh. He sent his Word and healed them. The Bible said there wasn't one sick among them when he got through. Though there was 600,000 out in the wilderness, the Bible said that their feet didn't swell. They didn't go hungry. Not one sick was among them. Amen. For he sent his Word and healed them. Amen. Faith in the Word of God. The Word of God made flesh at Calvary. When Jesus went by the whipping post, he took the stripes for your healing. Just like he took the nails for your salvation. Amen. He took those stripes. It's been said that there's 39 major diseases in the world, and he took a stripe to conquer every one of them. Amen. Jesus Christ at the whipping post. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ is body. You're no longer your sinful body. And if you're no longer your sinful body, then your body can no longer be sick, my brother. Because he done away with the body of sickness. Because sickness is caused by sin. All sickness is caused by sin. There was never no sickness until Eve sinned in the garden. Amen. It all came from sin. So then, when Christ died at Calvary, it done away with your sinful body that causes you to be sick. And you're no longer that sickly, weakly little person that you was. But you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the healthy, strong Christ. That's why he said, be strong in the power of my might. When you've done all you can to stand by your strength, he said, then stand. Stand by my strength. Be strong in what I teach you to believe. Be strong in the power of my might. My might will take you through. Believe in it. Have faith in it. Have confidence in it. Amen. But the people in the church today, how are they going to receive healing? There's no way that they can receive healing because they don't believe. You can't believe until you hear. You can't hear unless there's a preacher. The Bible said faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And there must be a preacher. Amen. These people running around saying, I don't need nobody to teach me. Bless God, the Holy Ghost will teach me. You just as walked up, my friend, as a bunch of string beans. Amen. Amen. You just that crossed up. That's right. What is it? You don't know nothing. The Bible said, being vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, doting about in the scriptures, you don't know nothing. Amen. But when you learn the Word of God, you can have faith in it. You can't preach nothing to somebody else. My brother and my sister, if you don't know it, and you certainly can't believe it if you don't know it. You can't preach it to nobody else. How are you going to teach them faith when you don't even know the Word yourself? And they're saved by the promises of God. Amen. Now then, I made a statement last night. You get one of the little fellows out here. Take Michael here, for instance. Or Susie here. Let them rise up and say, I'm a leader. Let them rise up and they say, I'm a leader. All right, so everybody, all the little children, everybody begins to follow Susie and Michael. Glory to God, God's raised them up. They're a leader. Amen. So where do they lead you to? They don't have the maturity of a man's mind, do they? One of them might lead you to the tadpole hole so you can go and swim and wade in the mud. Susie will lead you to the jump rope so you can skip rope and help you skip school too. Amen. That's exactly where the ministry of today has led the people. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The preachers ain't nothing but a bunch of babies in diapers, and they're running around somewhere, and they're leading them to every tadpole hole there is, and leading them everywhere but into the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. They got them jumping and hollering and screaming. That's right, and pulling their hair, and I've even heard them butting their heads against the wall. I've even heard them jumping out the windows and climbing the tent poles. Amen. Somebody says, well, ain't that God? Well, if it is, I sure am warped up, because there's no nature in here like ever like that. I never heard where the nature of Jesus Christ ever done those things. Somebody said, but the Bible said David climbed over a wall. He certainly did, with his sword in his hand and his troops behind him. Amen. Just like they did the Jericho walls. Amen. He scaled the wall. That's right. He run through a troop. Amen. He did it according to the Word of God and the unction of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, my brother and my sister. What we need is the Word of God. We need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We need to have a message, not running without a message. As a preacher preached one time, but we need to have a message. You ain't got nothing for the people. How are you going to give it to them? Somebody said, but I know that Christ is alive and resurrected from the grave. That's good, my brother. But after you tell them that, then what? I said, after you tell them that, then what? Amen. Somebody said, well, that'll convert them. If that's true, how come the world ain't converted? Everybody knows that. I said, everybody across the nation knows he's resurrected from the grave. They can go over and see the tomb. No doubt about that. Your little children know about it. The Bible said to know about it, even from the very smallest, he said, to the greatest among you. Amen. So what is it? They'll lead you all right. They'll lead you into forms and programs and rituals and everything that's contrary to godliness. That's where the women preachers come in. Amen. Mama says, Daddy, you bounce Junior on your knee. Glory to God, she says, I got to preach a sermon. What you going to preach, Mama? Hot dogs and cakes and pies and pudding? That's all you know. Somebody said, you don't think I know the Lord Jesus Christ? I know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. They know the Lord Jesus Christ. My little girl knows the Lord Jesus Christ. What's that got to do with it? I said the other day, God ain't never called a woman to preach. There ain't nowhere in the Bible where God ever called a woman to preach. And that ain't all. He ain't never going to call a woman to preach. Because it would break the scriptures, and the Bible said the scriptures cannot be broken. Amen. Like this teaching about the pre-Adamic world. Me and Tommy was talking about to have a pre-Adamic world, you'd have to break the scriptures. That's a lot of nonsense. Amen. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said that Eve was the mother of all living. Amen. If she's the mother of all living, that means you ain't going to find nobody up yonder in Jupiter somewhere. I said they never would find nobody on the moon. They didn't find nobody up there. And they ain't going to find nobody up there because God said Eve was the mother of all living. The Bible said Adam was the beginning of the creation of God as far as the natural. And Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God as far as the spiritual. Amen. So then I say again, as I said last night, that we are in the end of the world. I want you to listen to this, folks. We are in the end of the world. You got time to listen. The Bible said take time to be holy. He said, I ain't got time. He didn't ask you if you had time. He said, take time. Amen. A lot of you don't want to be under Brother Pike's ministry. A lot of you don't want to follow Brother Pike. Some of them get way back over yonder. They go over here to Brother Wall and go a lot of other places because they don't want to be Brother Pike. Amen. But when the saints of God start following Brother Pike into the kingdom of God, there's going to be a lot of them that wish had been with him. They don't want to endure the sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the word of God. But I tell you what, Tommy, when we start into the kingdom of God, every one of them will wish that they'll listen. You say, Brother Pike, but what? I want to ask you this question. What makes you think that God's going to come back down here and do a special thing to translate you and take you to heaven? My brother, there ain't no special thing but God's word. And that's to let whosoever will. This word of God is taking place right now. I said last night, two in the field, one taken and one left. Jesus said, where the field, it's the world. Is that right? Two out there in the world. Why did he take one out of the world and leave another? Why? Because one had his mind on God, meditating in the laws of God day and night. Is that right? Out there in the world, trying to work on the church. Out there and trying to make some money to further the gospel of the kingdom. Is that right? Amen, that's exactly right. And God took that into heaven and left that lazy one laying behind. Same way with the mothers. Amen, take one mother and leave another. Why? One mother's dilly-dallying around, make-believe, it won't pray, won't fast, won't seek God, won't do right in church. What's God doing? He's taking one of them, leaving the other. Somebody said, Brother Paggy said he would. I said he's doing it right now. Amen. Right now, judgment's falling in the house of God, and we are binding your sins or remitting your sins, and God is translating his people into his kingdom. He's taking one of them out of the world. The Bible said, you're not of this world. Why come I'm not of this world? Somebody said, I see you in the world. Why come I'm not of this world? Because he said he chose me out of the world. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, look, I don't care what I see. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Praise God. If God said I'm a pumpkin, then I'm a pumpkin. I don't care what you think I am. Amen. That's right. That's right. You say you're crazy. Well, that's all right. I still believe it like that. Amen. Now, if I was looking at something and something was out here and that thing was black and God told me it was white and I saw it black, I'd say, I can't help but want to see it's white. Somebody said, but you're crazy, Brother Pike. That's black. I said, well, my eyes are just playing tricks on me and yours too. God said it's white. It's got to be white. I don't know how it's white, but it's got to be white. And the Bible said, God hath translated us into the kingdom. I'm not of this world. He's chosen me out of this world. I'm hid with God in Christ whom the heavens have received. I'm sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Amen. That's right. Jesus said, the Son of Man who is in heaven, when he's talking to Nicodemus. I believe the kingdom has come. I believe God's will is being done. The law and the prophets were till John, his kingdoms be done on earth. Amen. Greater is he that is in the kingdom than John the Baptist. Amen. I believe we're in the kingdom. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the kingdom of God. God took one of us and left another, my brother. That's right. Two out under the bed, one taken and one left. Why? One out there meditating in the laws of God at the night season. Amen. And God took him out because he went to sleep in faith and left the other one because he went to sleep in lust and the things of this world. You say amen on me. Praise God. Some of you are so filthy with your wives that it's bad to even mention, even your own family relation. How foolish. Amen. Even among the ministry. Things that I'm even reluctant to say. That's right. That's why I don't let some of them up to preach. That's why I don't let some of them up to preach. But brother, let me tell you something. God says these things. And he knows them things ain't right. Them things ain't right. You be a light, my brother. You be clean. You be upright. You be holy. You be pure. You walk upright before God, and the faith of God will purify your hearts and sanctify you in Christ. Amen. I'm going to say this. I'm going to try to close here in just a few minutes. I'm going to say this. We are in the end of the world. Peter said this is the end of the world. After Calvary, Peter knew that God had secured forever them that were sanctified at a time, accepted, he heard them and secured them at Calvary, and the others was cut off. He said, this is the end of the world. That was the beginning of the end of the world when Peter said that right there. We're living in the end of the end of the world. The sun set a time, but Peter saw it begin back there. The ends begin back there. You know the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. That's right. The end of everything is at hand. The Bible said, be sober. Somebody said one time, the end of motherhood, the end of daddyhood, the end of a man being a clean businessman. That's right. The end of health. That's right, my brother. The end of sanity, the end of respect. It's the end of the world, the end of life. That's right. What is it? It's the end of the world. End of the world. Now, I had the vision. I mentioned it here to you, how that a few nights ago I looked and I saw hideous people, little heads with legs on them walking around. Hideous people, all warped and twisted up. Demon people. People that was possessed with demons. I saw them as they walk around. And I saw, as it was a hand that reached down and separated a little part of them and said, these are mine. I can restore them. They had been taken with evil spirits. But I saw the rest of them just pushed off like that. And he said, these are out from me. I can't do anything with them. Take them out from my presence. He said, they become demons. They become demons. And I can't do anything with them. So he cut them off. I sat in Atlanta, Georgia the other day, and I watched the people cross the streets. They did not know where they was going. They did not know what they was doing. They just wanted to buy and sell and get gain and had no conscience of God. They've seared their conscience with a hot iron. They've got past feeling. You can't touch them anymore with the Word of God. All they want is houses and lands and cars and food and slop and mess and everything else in the world. Amen. The pig back in his mud, back in his slop hole. In his mud hole, Jesus said, give him a spiritual bath, he goes back to his slop hole. The dog, he'll vomit up that old sin out there and get a change of heart. And what does he do? First news you know, he's back out there licking it again. Going back down to Egypt. Amen. Double-minded, he can't leave it alone. Now, the end of the world. I watched some people in Atlanta, Georgia. Mini skirts. All kind of zoot suits. Hair pond on their head, cut off. Some of them beards and wall-eyed and drunk and sloppy and messy and bathing suits and everything else. I looked at them and God began to deal with my heart and I thought, can God rule over a people like this? Can God own a people like this? Can God be the God of a people like this? Can God be the king of a people like this? God said, no. No. You forsake me, said I'll forsake you. Amen. Can God be? Can God rule over people like that? No, sir. What is he doing? He's turned the devils out of hell loose on them. He's turned the demons out of the bottomless pit loose on them. And the demon powers of lust, hatred, malice, resentment, covetous heart, all these things have entered into the people. Amen. For Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And he's out there trying to build him a kingdom. And what is it? What is it? It's the powers of Antichrist that's coming in, that the Antichrist himself may come and be their king. The king of the bottomless pit may come and rule over them, my friend. Amen. That's what it is. God's turned them over to the devils. I said the other night, the lights of the Gentiles is going out. Brother Roberts, a great light. You're the light of the world. The church light's going out. Gross darkness, carnality. Jesus coming as a thief in the carnal mind has a revelation of light to translate you into the kingdom. Stealing the bride away. And you don't have enough understanding to grasp it. Enough ego to hear it. Enough real godliness about you to pay attention to try to differentiate between right and wrong and understand what the minister's telling you. To give the morning's tea to them lest you let them slip. What is it? The devil. The king of the bondage pit right now. He's come to rule over the people. All the people, God's turned away from them. Seared their conscience with a hot iron. What is it? God is ruling over His people. God has raptured His people out by translating them into His kingdom. Amen, that's right. He's waiting for that last minute so He can just make it known to everybody. Just like communists slip in here and slip in here and slip in here and take the country. And He waits for the last minute to make everybody know that they're already in rule. Amen. God's got His people. He took one out of the church and left another. Took one off of a church bench and left another. Took one out of a home and left another. Raptured the people away. Somebody said, that's a good fairy tale. You talk like a fool. This ain't no fairy tale. This is thus saith the Lord God of heaven. It's God's word. He's done it. And He's left you back like a fool. Because you wouldn't listen. Amen. Listen, my friend. God has got His church. God has got His church. You better believe God's got His church. God's perfected that church. Amen. The bride has made herself ready. That's right. The bride has made herself ready. Jesus hung at Calvary and said, it's finished. I'll separate the sheep from the goat. That's right. He's turning back to the Jew over yonder, which means back to the church, and He's shelling off all the evil. I'm going to say this, just a little bit of revelation I mentioned last night. When you repented of your sins, you died in your body. The Bible said at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. By the body of Jesus Christ, you became dead. I read it right here where the Bible said He was put to death in the flesh, but His spirit was quickened by the eternal spirit. He suffered in the flesh. The Bible said they that have suffered in the flesh through self-denial, they have become dead to the things of the world. That they live no longer in sin and they are free from sin. Amen, is that right? At death, your spirit went back to God who gave it. Where did it go to, my brother? It was translated into the kingdom of God. Waiting in paradise, that's exactly right. In me you'll have peace, in the world, in the body you have trouble. But in the spirit you have peace if you're born of God. Amen, all the paths of God are peace. Where is your spirit? It was translated in the kingdom, because when your body died through repentance, you was buried in the watery grave as a testimony of Jesus Christ. That you was dead by His body, and your spirit went back to God who gave it. And your body has been dead to the things of the world. I said it's been dead to the lust of the flesh. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm not like that. I know you're not. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those that are dead to the things of the world. Amen. Their spirit went to be with God. But the Bible said, Enoch said they returned with 10,000 saints. What? Their spirits coming back to enter into these bodies. Is that right? They have a little shield. I might make mention of something here that has to do with this immediate work out here. I wish I'd just go through the whole revelation as I do sometime with some of the brethren. But they made a shield that when the rocket comes back in space after it's crossed over the symbol of Jordan out yonder, it has to have a special shield to keep it from burning up. Is that right? When your spirit leaves this body and it goes to be with God's world, when it comes back into this body, it has to have a shield called faith, my brother. Amen. To keep the lust, the fire of the body from burning you up. Amen. That's right. To consume it. It has to have it. And we have a company that's going to put a top on this house right here, God's house, that made the material that they had to have, harder than cement, the perfect material, so to speak. They made it so they could have that shield. And then God turned around and gave us some of that stuff right out here to capstone those little pyramids, the foolish and abased things of the world, to confound the wise, to fix those little places over the little pyramid that's over the door where I said the middle wall of partition was broken down. Christ being the entrance. Amen. The beginning and finish of our faith. Author. Amen. To just them little things. Nobody didn't ask Him for it. He just come out and volunteered and said, I see that you need something. Why? Because I preached that in connection with this. And God wanted to let you know it's in connection with it. Oh my, if you could just understand what I'm saying. It'd take a lot more explaining, and I know it. And I don't have the time this morning. Not that I don't have the time, but you don't have the time to let me. Amen, this morning. That's right. So then I'd like to say this one thing, my brother and my sister, that we are in the end of the world, and God is turning the people over to devils and demons. That's right, and He's taking His people. Even this trip to Jerusalem has to do with a symbol of rapture. Amen. I told you about splitting up at the city. Over there, Amsterdam, Holland, is the place where they shape jewels. Is that right? They say it's the diamond-shaping center of the world. And also the place where they had that council over there when the great confederation of churches come together, the antitype of what's fixing to happen. Is that right? God gathers His jewels and takes us over there. Is that right? They're noted for cleanliness. Is that right? I'll remember you when I make up my jewels and spare you to take you where? To headquarters. Jewel headquarters. Amen. Then what? Then what? According to what I understand now, we're going to Rome, the eternal city. Whether we split up on two planes or not, there's something there, but they say we'll split up on two planes. Amen. The Pope being the judge of all the earth. To stand before the judge, the sheep divided from the goat, that we might take two different directions. Is that right? That's right. And then where to? To Canaan land. Hallelujah. To Canaan land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To Canaan land. Hallelujah. After that. Praise God, there's something to it, my brother. Hallelujah, these pieces of land that we're getting out here. The 4th of July, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. All of these things that we mentioned to the brethren in a continuity. There's something taking place. This little Palestinian tent and the many hundreds of things that's on tape back there that we preach and things that we mentioned to you and some we've never mentioned to you. Amen. What is it? We're in the end of the world. We're in the end of the world. This is the end of the world. Now then, listen to this and I'll close. Listen to this. The hippies, out of the hippies will come the Antichrist. Out of the hippies, because they are the nearest thing to Christ in the earth. Out of Nazareth, the unclean. That's right. Nothing clean out of Nazareth was the old saying. That's right. But as a hippie, the head, the unclean on the outside look just like Christ, on the inside rotten to the bones. A cesspool of iniquity. Antitype. What is it? It's the head that's going to marry the world, the church, out yonder. Why? Because she's waiting for a husband. Who is her husband? The hippie. I said the hippie is her husband. I said the hippie is her husband. That's why the young men will let the hair grow out and the bankers and the doctors and the lawyers and all the rest of them will let their sideburns grow way down and let their hair grow out like that and dress and do those things. That's exactly why, because that's her husband coming. She'll take his mark. She'll take his name. She'll take his doctrine. She'll practice his traits. That's right. But it makes me know one thing, that if in the natural Jesus Christ in the antitype is manifested that much, then in the Spirit, that means the maturity of the head, the Word, the revelation, the finished product is that close to marrying the Spirit of the church. And we're at last taking his doctrine. His brother Jimmy said yesterday, Josias, when he came up back there, they had done away with the scrolls. They had tore down the house of God. But when God raised Josias up, he went and dug up the scrolls and began to make the people live according to the Word of God. Every person that God had raised up did that. Brought them back to the landmarks of the Bible. It's always been that way. It always will be that way in every generation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. That's why he made you judges over his people like he made them judges. But he said, don't be unjust judges. Amen. You understand what I mean, brother? Listen to me, minister. Listen to me this morning. I know I'm taking a little bit long. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. But listen to me. If I take the Word of God, if I develop the mind of Christ, and then I come to you for one purpose, that is to be able to subdue your mind, to subdue your spirit. That's why devils sit on the benches and resent me. They know that I'm out to subdue them. Amen. And subdue the human mind to where they can't have no place in that mind. And devils has got such a strong power. Evil, resentment, and everything else. Bless God, he took my husband in. But he ain't going to take me in. Amen. I'm not going to submit. You better submit. I said, you better submit. The Bible said submit yourselves one to another. You better submit. I come out there to subdue your mind with the Word of God. To outreason you by the Word of God. To take control of you through the mastermind of Jesus Christ. Now then, I do that I might turn your heart to the kingdom of God. And turn your soul to God. And when I subdue your mind with the mind of God, you become his servant. And it becomes God manifested in you as he eradicates thought after thought until it's God living within his body and his temple, for he's deserving of his own body. Amen. Amen. He's got a right to marry his own bride. Amen. Well, let me tell you something, minister. When you learn the Word of God to hold it in unrighteousness like Satan does, to subdue a person's mind for your motive, for your benefit, just to be the big deal and the big wheel, as they say in the world, to be able to make them know that you know that they don't know. Amen. Or to project yourself for some big ministry or some big deal, or take control of their mind for your purposes to get you a little nest and get you a little income over here. God have mercy on your wretched soul. You better check your motives and find out what you're doing. Some of you are so lazy you won't work on a job, and you're trying to figure out every way that you can to subdue somebody's mind to get them to believe in you. I don't want them to believe in my laziness. I don't want them to believe in my wrong. I want them to see God within me and follow me as I follow God. And when I quit following God, stop following me. Amen. It's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. Folks, you see, Jesus said, because you see, your sins remain. He said, them folks are blind and they can't see. They said, you say we're blind. He said, if you was blind, you'd have no sins. But because you say you see, your sins remain. Folks, you see, you better do right. You better do right. Amen. I want you to stand together with me. The end of the world. Hippies are seeing visions. LSD, seeing visions. Is that right? It's a symbol of the young men seeing visions in the last days by taking the injection of the Holy Spirit into their bloodstreams. Not hallucinations and lying divinations like the LSD gives you, but the real kingdom of God. Amen. They are maturing that much. We're maturing that much. Let's sing a little song together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Folks, you may never be great. You never may never be a great person. Hallelujah. I'll never be like Old Roberts and Brother Allen and Brother Branham and the others. I'll never be great. But I'll tell you one thing. Is a little song says you can brighten the corner wherever you are. I'll never do nothing but a little thing, maybe for God. But I'll tell you what. Though I be a little person, yet I'm going to do what little I can. Amen. Because I'm not going to be rewarded for trying to be as great as Brother Roberts or somebody else. I'm going to be rewarded for my faithfulness, Brother John, to Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm interested in, is to be faithful. The Bible said these are the called, these are the chosen, these are the faithful. Amen. And that's what I want to be. Hallelujah. That's what I want to be, Brother Tommy. Praise God. I want you to lift your hands up. I want to sing that chorus again. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace, my fears really. How precious did that grace appear? The power I first believed. Hallelujah, when you've done all that you can do to stand, the Bible said stand. By faith, stand. He won't leave you nor forsake you nor let you down. When you've done all that you can to live right, to give to God, and some of you have, my brothers and sisters, then after you've done all of that, say, God, I've done everything I can to live right, but by grace I'm saved. I said it's not by what I've done, but it's by grace, Lord, I'm saved. I'm looking not to my works, though I do ever so many works and all that I can do, but Calvary is my sweet retreat. Calvary's my rest. Hallelujah. I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen. Dale and Ricky and Cindy used to sing a song. All I ask of thee, dear Lord, is grace. Grace to stand. Hallelujah. God, give me grace. God, give me grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no last days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I wonder this morning, as we just take just a minute or two here, if you would like to come up and give your heart to God. If you'd like to surrender your heart to God this morning, lift your hands up. And if you're back there in your seat somewhere, standing by the bench, I want you to lift your hands up. And I want you to accept God as we pray. Ask God to forgive your sins, folks. Ask God to forgive your sins. It's by grace through faith that you're saved. Not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest a man boast, but the gift of God. I want you to lift your hands up. And I want you to ask God, say, Lord, help me. Dear God, save me. Lord, I'm honest with you. I can't do nothing to help myself. But please, oh, please have mercy on me, dear God.